When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
06-7 the fan. Excited to get on the phone lines here to our friend Mr. Ike Reese up in Philadelphia. You can give him a follow at Ike58Reese. You can hear him afternoons on WIP. Big game, Ike. What's going on, man?
JP, Lemonhead. What's up, big bro? What's going
all right.
on?
All right, Chocolate Thunder. What's up, brother, man?
Ain't nothing going on, man. I'm good.
What is actually going on in that damn locker room? Because we got one guy saying something, everybody else acting like, oh, he got to be crazy.
last week, I'm assuming, right? I'm assuming they've hashed out whatever it was that was going on, right? You heard one message from AJ and Jalen saying that they were good and they talked things out. But prior to that, everybody heard and saw BG's comments on his radio show he does Monday night with us down at Chiggy and Pete's. And so, listen, I'm inclined to believe Brandon Graham. I don't think somebody comes out and speaks from the heart the way he did with the detail that he spoke with, and he just made up something. So yeah. That's not to say that they weren't, after that, able to hash out whatever the issues were and move forward, but to act as if this somehow was all media created and all made up and everybody is great with each other. Yeah, we've been around the game long enough, B-Mitch and JP, to know that that's not the case. But I'll give them credit for solving those issues behind closed doors once it did go public. And it seemed like they were all out there on the same page Sunday. So winning cures all, and a few catches and a touchdown, that certainly helps the cause as well. So everybody's feeling good right now, I'm assuming, down there.
Totally, man. It's just wild to me because, like, they've won 10 in a row. They look like the best team in football, and yet it seems like there's at least
trouble in paradise.
Some level of some dysfunction. Yeah. Does it seem like that to you, or is it? Are we making too much out of it? Maybe from the outside.
So here's my read on the situation. We watched these guys prior to last Sunday's game. They had went on a 9-game winning streak, and they had forged this identity for the team since the bye week that they were sort of a run-first, run-based, defensive-oriented football team. Not that they weren't going to throw the ball. They just didn't lean as heavily on the passing game as they had earlier in the year. And, you know, Brian can tell you, you know, when you got these many weapons on the offensive side of the ball, it can become a difficult task for a coordinator and a quarterback to try to keep all these guys happy to keep everybody fed. So my take on it is I don't think it was as bad as it sort of blew up to, but the fact that the passing game wasn't necessarily clicking as it should be clicking, not saying that they wanted to be a passing offense. But here's the thing. When there's opportunities to make plays in the passing game, with those limited chances they get. Those wide receivers with their level of talent, they're going to want, they want those opportunities. They want a chance to catch the football. If I'm A.J. Brown, I want to catch the damn football. If I'm Devontae Smith, I want to catch the football, not at the expense of winning, not at the expense of having a stagnant offense. They understand that Saquon was going to get his touches, but I believe their sort of outlook on the passing game, when A.J. said passing as sort of something that they needed to fix or get corrected with the offense, he was pretty much implying that there's opportunities in the passing game that we could connect, and it may actually make the games a little easier for us. Because now, yeah, remember, this was coming off the Carolina Panthers game where they were double-digit favorites, and that was a one-possession game. I think we only won about 6 or 7 points in that game. And so when you don't win in dominant fashion, you know how we are here. We're going to ask about areas that you can improve upon. And A.J. was, I give him credit, he was blunt and straight to the point. We had all been discussing it on the outside of the building. He said the passing needs to be better. And I don't think that blew up everything. I think DG's comments the next night sort of it validated what everybody was speculating at that time. And that's how it sort of snowballed into what it snowballed into, because there were people that were saying, oh, my God, is there something going on? Is A.J. not happy? You know, Jalen needs to be better in the passing game. And, you know, I'm on this side of things now. I've been here for 17 years now. You give us, you put any blood in the water, we're sharks. We're coming for it. Like, you give the media anything, and we're coming for it. So, and that's what that was last week. So my advice would be choose your words a little more carefully. and that way you'll keep us on the outside, not in the family business, and you guys can get things corrected behind closed doors.
Well, one more thing then. Defensive line coach and Sirianni on the sideline. Yeah. I figured that the fact that Dom didn't get in between them, it was just an emotional conversation and not necessarily no beef.
Right. Right. I forgot about that.
Oh, we researched it, brother. We try to get all the blood in the water, brother.
It's all good. I think that was Jalen Carter. I think had gotten a dead ball penalty or something after that play, because I think he had hit Connor Hayward upside the head. So they called a flag on that play. Now it was. I was surprised that didn't give the Pittsburgh Steelers a first down, because it happened during the play. It was on a punt, and a punt safe team was out there. They called it a dead ball foul. So when the Eagles got the ball, what really happened is they got penalized, I think, half the distance to the goal line versus Pittsburgh getting an automatic first down. I think Coach Sirianni was upset of what Jalen had did and was, I guess, going to let him know about it. But the D-line coach, at that point, what I'm gathering is he's pretty much saying, I already got on him, coach. You don't have to worry about it. Like, Jalen Carter, you know, he's one of those personalities, man, that you would love to play with him, but you got to coach him up a little bit differently. And sometimes he can be overly aggressive. And that's one of those moments where I think the D-line coach, Coach Hurt, was pretty much letting Coach Sirianni know that, I got it already, coach.
Don't go over there.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, like, it's just going to make matters worse. Like, it's going to make matters worse. Let me deal with it. And see, you saw Big Dom just slide right there in the back, like, just in case something happened. But I think that's more or less emotions on the sideline. And that's where Coach Sirianni has done a good job this year, for the most part, is keeping control of his emotions. Because when he gets ticked off, sometimes he doesn't know how to pull back. And that's even with his players or coaches. That's what it's been in the past. So they're trying to make sure they keep all that type of stuff to a minimum on the sideline, so it doesn't become some sort of distraction or it creates a bigger issue. And to Coach Sirianni's credit, I think he in the moment realized, okay, this could be an issue here. Let me pull back a little bit, walk away, and they addressed it after the game. So I think all that is okay too right now. We got a lot going on right now up here, man.
Yeah, it's busy, man. Talking with our friend Ike Reese. You can hear him on WIP every afternoon in Philadelphia from 2 to 6 at Ike58Reese if you want to give him a follow. Ike was drafted by the Eagles in the 5th round, 98 draft, played for 7 years in Philly. Great career, great Eagle. So, Ike, what's crazy about the Eagles is we keep hearing the stuff, kind of the weird stuff that has kind of permeated throughout the Sirianni era. But, dude, they are loaded. I mean, the fact that they've been able to rebuild that front seven and how well they're playing now, you know, as a guy that played in the front seven, what do you make of that group and just how good they are?
I mean, Coach Fangio, I mean, I don't know if they give out assistant coaches awards of the year. I don't even know. If they do, he should certainly be a top candidate for a coach of the year from an assistant coach standpoint. As a defensive coordinator, he's come in with these young players with a little bit of a mixture of a couple guys that had been here the previous year or two, and he has far exceeded anybody's expectations of what we expected from his defense. We just wanted a serviceable defense, a defense that wasn't ranked last in the league like last year's defense was. So we would have been happy with a top 15 defense around here. For them to be as playing as well as they played this year, and not only that, there were question marks about some of the players, young players like a Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. Like, these guys hadn't necessarily started to realize their potential in their first few years, and it seems like Coach Fangio has done a great job of getting the best out of all these guys. He's putting them all in the proper position. Zach Bond was a guy who was viewed as a third down special teams type of guy his first few years in the league, and he's playing stack backer, which he had never done before, and Coach Fangio has turned him into a potential all-pro player this year with the way that he's played this year. And we talked about Jalen Carter. They got him in the right position. The young secondary that we have with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, you know, they got Darius Slay, who I believe has had a bounce back year compared to what he had last year. We got Reed Blankenship in the secondary. So all of these guys who didn't really have an identity as a unit 2 months ago, man, since that bye week, because I got to tell you, it didn't start at the beginning of the season. It was after the bye week, after week 4. They somehow figured something out, and man, they've just taken off as a unit. It is a very impressive unit, tied for first in the fewest amount of points given up. They give up the fewest amount of yards, and they do a lot of it without blitzing. They don't blitz a whole lot. A lot of it is we're going to rush you with our front four, and we're going to play solid defense with our back seven, and we're going to try to keep the ball from getting thrown over our head, and your quarterback is going to make a mistake eventually. And that's how they play defense, and it's been awesome to watch this year. They tackle so much better. Let me throw this in there real quick. They changed their practice habits and their philosophy after that bye week as well. It was all about being physical and having a physical presence. They've gone to wearing pads once a week. They've been doing that over the 10-game winning streak. I think it's changed the mentality in the locker room and of the players that they just play a more physical brand of football now. And I think a lot of it starts with it's how they practice throughout the week. So it's been a pleasure to watch around here this year.
I'm just going to post this. Ike Reese said the NFL need to go back to tackling. No.
AP, I'm telling you now, listen.
It does something for you, though. But seriously, like, in the first game, Washington had opportunity after opportunity early on, and they didn't capitalize on them. What is it that you think the Eagles are concerned about? If Washington gets some things corrected, it could be a problem.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, man, I would say you're running game. I mean, listen, a lot with what Washington does is, you know, Jaden Daniels will make his plays through the air with Terry McLaurin when the opportunities present itself. But for the most part, you guys get Robinson going, Jaden Daniels running the football. I think we got to be able to put Washington in a situation where they're out of their comfort zone. I don't know how much they want to throw the ball, right? If we can find a way to get you in that second and long, third and long, instead of second and four and third and two, then that puts a lot more pressure on the passing game, and then maybe you can get after that offense that way. For me, the quarterback is always going to be the X factor because he can beat you with his arm and he can beat you with his legs. So I would say from a defensive standpoint, we got to figure out how not to let Jaden Daniels control the game through the air and on the ground. And from an offensive standpoint, I just think they got to do what they do best. They run the football. They run the football well. If Washington stacks the box so they don't want to let Saquon run, then the passing game has to get clicking. That's the one positive after last week's game is that Pittsburgh loaded up on the run game last week, and Jalen had his best day as a passer last Sunday when you just look at the throws that he made, how quick he got the ball out of his hands, and those things. So I would say the Eagles are a very complete team right now, and it's going to be difficult for any team to sort of hone in on a weakness versus this Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are just loaded all over the place. And, you know, I talked to Chris Sims from NBC this morning, and he was saying what the Eagles are doing from an offensive, like, concept space isn't all that advanced. They run a lot of the same stuff over and over, and just nobody can stop it. Is that consistent with kind of what you've seen, Ike?
It really is. It truly is. It's not very complicated. I feel like, you know, they have a talent level on that side of the football that they don't have to be very complicated with what they're doing. Sometimes you can just line up and see, okay, see if your guy can beat my guy. And they got the best – I think we got the best offensive line in football. They are so massive.
Hard to argue with.
They are so massive when you look at the size of them paws all across the line. It's I had to throw that in there. Yeah, come on, man. Lucky I didn't say no Diddy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. When you look at the size of those guys up front, they're pretty big.
For sure, man. And even in the passing game, obviously the strength of that O-line stands out. But even in the passing game, they're like, all right, you got to cover A.J. and Devontae and our running attack, and the quarterback can run. So we're just gonna come out here and good luck stopping it. It's that Eagles team is a well-oiled machine, man. I don't know exactly what the are there any holes on special teams? I know Elliott has been missing way more kicks than normal, right?
Well, I would say yeah. That's I don't want to jinx him, but he had a good week last week. It's been like two, maybe three games where it was like, what is going on with Jake Elliott? It's very uncommon for Jake. He's been pretty much a sure kicker his whole career that he's been here, and maybe it's just one of those weird years where the ball just not it sails to the left or to the right on him. But yeah, he's hopefully he's gotten that fixed. But yeah, it's not a whole lot to poke at with the Eagles. But I'd say the biggest thing I noticed with this team is that they make adjustments. We get off to slow starts. Like I don't know if there's been a game where they've gotten off to a fast start. They usually get off to a slow start. I know for a large portion of the season, they had the fewest points scored in the first quarter of any team all year long. So sometimes they come out and they're not clicking on all cylinders. It takes them a little while to see what the opposing team is doing. But by the time they get to that second quarter, they've made adjustments both offensively and defensively that they just look like a different team. They look like a different team. And once they do figure it out to where they can get off to faster starts, man, it could be scary for a lot of teams they face.
Well, you can wait another week before that happens. Let's try to figure that out next week. I mean, you're already in a good spot. You don't need this week.
You guys don't need. Listen, we're both going to get in. We're both getting in. So we'll both get in the playoffs. But we're looking at the one seed. We got a few things. We're trying to get a bye week. So we definitely need this game this week.
Hey, Ike, just real quick, because I love the passion of Philly fans. Non-Eagles related. I'll add that caveat.
Okay.
How they feeling about them Sixers right now?
Oh, come on, man. That's not fair.
I'm being serious.
Like, hell, we got the Wizards, so don't worry about it.
Are they kind of just ignoring it and focusing on the Eagles,
that's exactly what we're doing. After last Friday, Joel. I think he fractured his sinus. I never even heard of that before.
He fractured his what?
His sinus. You know, I thought it was a broken nose, but it's not. It's like, yeah, he fractured his sinus. So I didn't know there's no telling how long he's going to be out. And then our outstanding rookie, we found out the next day, but it happened in that same game. He tore his, I think he tore his meniscus or his MCL. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, it's not good, and Paul George, we're just happy when he finishes the game right now. Like, as long as nobody else gets injured, man, it's not good right now. But hey, that's why we're not paying attention until after the Eagles season. After the Eagles season, then we're back in.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll be honest, man. The way Philly's playing, you could have a lot more season left. Ike, yeah. I know you got your show to get ready for. Thank you for your time as always.
Tell the wife, I say happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, JP. Y'all take care. Hey, Merry Christmas to us.
You too, Merry Christmas, bud. That is Ike Reese. You can hear him every afternoon in Philadelphia on WIP, 94 WIP, from 2 to 6. You follow him at Ike58Reese.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.